Blog Talk Radio.
There's just a mess of things to do. Words on a page we wrote to you. But now you're gone and only these words remain.
Uno.
Life is short, but the list is long.
Everyone, it's me. Okay, the switchboard went kind of crazy on me for a second, but hey, that's okay. Tonight's guest is Jasper Cole, and he's been on so many good things with so many amazing people, and also he has his own radio show too. Wow. So I'm bringing on Jasper now, so let's have a great interview, and if you want to call and talk to him, call 1-347-850-8721. Thank you. Hi, Jasper.
Carly, how are you, my dear?
I'm good. So, okay, last night we were talking, and it said you were in Steel Magnolia, so I got really, really excited. And then we were talking, and you said it was a TV version of it?
Yes, it was a TV pilot that they did after the movie, you know, was a big hit. They mm-hmm. did a TV pilot, and, it didn't get picked up. At that time, they picked up a show called Evening Shade with Burt Reynolds, that for those of us that might be a little older may remember it ran for.
Oh, I remember that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
And by the way, you have done so many things. It's so impressive. And
thank you.
You know, what was it like for you to be on Saved by the Bell, because, you know, I watched Saved by the Bell, and so how was that?
Oh, it was great. You know, I was so young at the time. I always say that my career goes in, like, different stages, because I've been doing this 32 years. That was in the very beginning when I first moved to L.A. I moved here in 87, listen, to just get those initial jobs in the beginning, I mean, I'm still grateful, but in those beginning years, you know, it's just a thrill to get work. And, I had watched the show as well. So it was just exciting, to be on the set and, you know, just to see how it was all working at that time. I was all bright eyed and bushy tail. So it was good. It was very good.
Well, when you said you've been in this business for 30 years, okay, that's what you did not look that old to be in this business for 30 years, by the way. I don't believe you. I just think you're good.
Well.
I think you're younger than you're saying, but that's just me. And you've been on Test by Angel, Party of Five, Liv Kita, Tears of the Crypt, which I did not watch because this whole thing about Tears of the Crypt and scary movies, okay, well, Carly doesn't do because Carly doesn't want to be with the light on all night. And you know, with the light on and a knife by my bed. So in that case, I didn't see you now, so I apologize, but it was only because I didn't want to freak myself out. That was the only reason. I don't do Halloween movies at all. I can't do them. But, yeah, you have done so much. And, okay, so it said you did Clueless. Okay, are we talking again Clueless, the TV show, or the movie?
Oh, no, the TV show. Yeah, there was a TV show done in... Again, so first of all, thank you. I'm actually 55 years old. I moved here when I was 23.
No, you're not. You're lying.
You're
65.
Yeah, no, I tell my age. You know, the funny thing is, I tell my age because as a guy, you know, as a character actor, I probably will work more the older I get, which is very sexist, I know, in this business because, you know, they say women, you know, can't work past a certain age, which is just ridiculous. But for men, you know, it's ridiculous. And for men, the uglier and the creepier and the more haggard we get, the more work we get for some reason. But yeah, so I was so lucky, you know, I did all these TV shows in the first half of my career. I kind of played the... I was always just sort of the sidekick or the college kid or the best friend. I wasn't really leading man, Hollywood good looking, but I wasn't really character-y looking either. I kind of fell in between the cracks. It really wasn't until I turned 40 about 15 years ago that this whole other menacing bad boy, all those kind of movies you can't watch, and quite frankly, movies that I don't watch. I love doing the horror films, but I'm not one to sit through the blood and the gore either, but I do love making them. But it was about 15 years ago when everything kind of shifted, and I just kind of got on this wonderful list of playing bad guys, which all the actors out there, I say to them all the time, there's nothing wrong with getting typecast.
No, actually, there's not. There's nothing wrong with getting typecast, in my opinion.
Yes.
But when I read, because I read all about you this morning, last night, and everything, when I read that you looked opposite Kristen Slater, okay, I wanted to die. I mean, for my sake, if it was me. Looking along Kristen Slater, I would probably, you know, just die right then and there, and it would not be a good thing. And so how was that? Because, you know, I had a big crush on Kristen Slater back in the day. So how was looking with him?
Well, it was great. You know, it was on a series called The Forgotten, which I actually really loved that show. It only ran one season.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and so I.
That was awesome.
Yeah, didn't you like it? I thought it was going to go. I mean, you know, these, who knows, right? But it was a good 1 hour ensemble show, and I got a nice role. I played the clerk that ran this kind of creepy rundown hotel where people pay by the week. So they were always having, you know, investigations there. But Christian, you know, it's the nicest guy ever. It's I have to be honest, in all my years working, I could probably count on one hand, if not even three fingers, the people that were difficult. I mean, generally speaking, most of the celebrities, the stars, have been wonderful. It's so rare that you meet. You know, it's funny. The bigger the star, the nicer the person. Sometimes it's the less famous ones that are a little more difficult. There's something to be said about people being more secure, you know, when they're at the top. It's sometimes those of us that are in the middle that need to be put into check. I don't think I do, but I try not to do that. You know, I wear so many different hats between managing and producing and hosting that when I get to just go be an actor on a set, I just, am so thrilled that that's all I have to do is just show up and act. So I just hit my mark, say my lines, and unless something falls and hits me in the head, I'm pretty quiet.
Well, sometimes it's good to be quiet, but sometimes it's not. And I got to say, I love your commercials that you did with Rob Lowe.
Oh, thank you.
Again, you are lucky. Again, you were very, very lucky. Because, number one, I would freak out doing a commercial because, I don't know, doing a commercial versus, a TV show seemed really, you know, daunting to me. So I think I would rather stick with the TV or movie, but you probably get paid most of the commercial. Am I right or am I totally wrong on that?
Well, you know, you're right. Well, commercials for many, many years were just amazing. That was like my bread and butter, and so many actors. That's how we would qualify for our health insurance, you know, because the great thing about commercials is you generally work one day and then you know, if you're lucky enough and it runs, we call it mailbox money, where you go to the mailbox and you get residuals. Now they direct deposit checks, which is even better. But I'll tell you, Carly, what's happened is the commercial world has really changed. It's a lot of actors listening will know, most of the commercials have gone non-union now. And so for those of us that are in the union, we're not allowed to do non-union if you're in the Screen Actors Guild. So it's been a real gut punch to a lot of us actors because we've lost a big chunk of our income from not being able to have as many union commercials. So it's been a big change in that area. But prior to like 2 years ago, commercials were just my bread and butter, and I was so fortunate to do them. And like, I went out on one yesterday for an audition, but I would say this year I probably have only had 5 commercial auditions, and I used to probably go out twice a week before.
People, you need higher Zasper. That's what's wrong. People, and I have a little bone to pick with you, but don't worry. It's nice. I want to know why in the heck you haven't done a soap, okay?
I know.
Everything on your resume, why haven't I seen you two-faced in daytime? Number one, I mean, you will play a really great bad guy on one of the soaps. So
oh my God.
I think, and I know most actors think soap opera is the kiss of death for you, but
mm-mm.
Really, it's not.
Not for me. No, I would love it. Listen, you are preaching to the choir. Well, early in my career, I did a show called Tribes, but that was like a teenage a Fox short-lived show that didn't last. And then, like, I was on Santa Barbara. That's a show that's now gone, but I did, like, some little parts on Santa Barbara. And then there was an all-African – yeah, I played, like, I think I was a salesperson or – yeah, I think I was a salesperson. I mean, we're going back to, like, the early 90s. But then there was an all-African-American soap called Generations – that on NBC. Again, I had, these were just tiny parts, but I have auditioned, I've auditioned a good bit for Days of Our Lives. Now, here's the thing. Days of Our Lives have these great bad guys at times, but everybody there, you have to be 6 feet tall or taller, and I'm 5'8". And so it's very hard for me to book a job on Days because they have a height requirement. I've also auditioned for Young and the Restless and General Hospital. So they do know me, but you're right, Carly. My dream job would be like if I could just play like a, you know, like the homeless guy that lays out in front of the hospital or or the neighborhood drunk, you know, on Genoa City. I would be so happy to just go work 2 days a week, you know, and just call it a day. That would be perfect.
Well, I would be happier because just for myself, I would just love, you know, having you on there for my, you know, own selfish gain. And you said you did generations. Okay, well, my buddies, James Runners,
yes.
His On Days of Our Life, and Abe, On Days of Our Life was on generations.
Mm-hmm.
And also my TV husband that passed away, Christoph St. John, was also on generations. So were you
well,
able to
Well, here's the
be-
thing. Well, James Reynolds, okay, so you, as you, some people know or don't know, I own a management company called Newman Thomas Management. One of our clients, Denise Boutte, who's from Tyler Perry's Meet the Browns, she was also Danielle on Days of Our Lives. She has done several plays at the Fremont Theater in Pasadena where James and his wife Lisa run the
okay.
theater. And then my other client and my good friend is Rodney Van Johnson, who played TC on Passions for many, many years.
Oh.
Yeah, he's my client. We've been friends since we did the play A Few Good Men together in 1994, and just recently he signed on as one of our management clients because he's come back to acting. But Christoph and Rodney were really close friends. And then, Carly, it gets even more bizarre. I moved to Palm Springs a year ago full-time. My neighbor here in my complex is Christoph's daughter and his ex-wife. Paris.
Oh.
And it's just a small world, right? So
Yeah, I was friends with him. He came on the show all the time. James comes on whenever basically I tell him he has to come on. But the guy you mentioned that you're friends with, if he wants to come on the show, please tell him he's welcome because I love all the daytime guys and I can put you in the daytime category now because you've been on generations.
Right,
and
I paid my dues.
That's a great show back then. And I know before Christoph died, they were thinking about doing a generations reunion. There was big talk about it, actually. And I don't think it's going to happen now, but you know, Generations was one of those great soaps, and for you to be a part of it, I think is amazing. And,
well, thank you. Yeah, there were some great actors on that show, and they've all gone. I mean, they were heavyweight veterans, and they've all gone on to do other stuff. And well, the same with Santa Barbara. You know, I remember I had a scene with Robin Wright, and that was like her first. That was her first big break before she got The Princess Bride, the movie. Another one of our clients is Jennifer Bassey, who was Marion Colby on All My Children. And, you know, you had Marion Colby, her daughter Liza.
Yeah,
that was Marcy Walker, who left All My Children, and she was at Santa Barbara also. So, I have a lot of soap, you know, a lot of soap friends like Kathleen Gotti over at General Hospital. I mean, there's so many.
So, do you think after the show I could email you and we could talk?
Absolutely. I've got a ton of people that would love to.
I would love to, you know, get more on. And I know you have a radio show, and I'm only kidding you. I think you're copying me, but I'm not going to say that you're getting my lane because you're so cute.
Oh, bless your heart, as we say in the South.
You're not in my lane. It's okay. But how did the one-on-one with Josh Brule call came? How did you decide to do your own radio show?
Well, I was in this movie called MacGruber. It was a Saturday Night Live film in 2009, and it was it was really my biggest film break. It was Kristen Wiig and Will Forte and Ryan Felipe and Val Kilmer. And anyway, so I went on this big press tour, and I went to do a radio show at LA Talk Radio, and the guy that was hosting the show, Tony Sweet, said to me, you know, I'm going to be starting my own company. You should come do your own show. And I was like, and talk about what? He was like, well, you do all these things. You should just do like an entertainment show. So I did a show called On the Set with Jasper Cole for 4 years. And that was just pretty much, it was a 2-hour live, all show business, anybody, actor, director, producer. I would bring on craft services, the gaffers, the best boys, all the different parts of the business. But then I decided I really wanted to do more intimate sort of interviews. So 4 years ago, I started just one-on-one with Jasper Cole, which is just me and one guest sitting down one-on-one in the studio in Hollywood. And then more recently, we've expanded to doing live call-ins as well, like you do. And that allows me to not have to always go into the studio in Hollywood, and I can do it from my little home studio. So so I love it. See, I did it because I wanted to. My real personality, as you can tell, is not these creepy, mean, bad guys that I play. And I wanted to show the industry that I'm funnier and I'm lighter and not so, you know, heavy. I mean, I'm very sarcastic and I'm very political also. I mean, I wasn't political. I got very political after the 2016 election. So,
oh, you did too.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So did I.
Yeah, I kind of
so
lost
I.
my mind. So yeah.
That's
yeah.
So funny. May I ask you, and if you don't mind answering, when you say you become more political,
mm-hmm.
Are you finding that once you finally open up and play side, you know, what kind of side you're on,
mm-hmm.
How do people react? Because I kind of bring the political side on here when it's supposed to be soaps and football and whatever. But since we have a bad president in the White House,
yes,
it just came to me one night that I should just bring humor along with everyday thing that is happening. So for you, for the 2016 election, do you feel like we ended up with the right president, or do you feel
no.
Okay, I'm in love with you now. I'm in love with you.
I mean, here's the thing. I am not anti-Republican or anti-Democrat. You know, I'm just anti-Trump.
Yeah.
I'm just horrified that I just can't – look, here I've come to this point now. I'm going to say I can see where – okay, if you voted for him the first time, I'm going to give a pass because I think if you didn't live in L.A. or New York and you hadn't been in the show business for years, maybe you didn't know what he was, you know, and you only watched him – people only watched him on The Celebrity Apprentice, which, by the way, I watched the show and loved the show. It wasn't because of him. I like to watch the celebrities. I was just,
mm-hmm.
first of all, shocked that I couldn't believe he won. But then I'm now just shocked that if 3 years later people are still supporting him after all that he does
mm-hmm.
and has done, I just can't – I'm in complete shock about it. I mean, I don't know what more this man has to do prior to just, you know, shooting someone, like he said, on Fifth Avenue, for people to realize he has to go.
Well, you know, I really think, you know, it took 2016 for me personally. You know, I voted for Hillary, and that day, you know, the music stopped when Hillary lost. Let's just say, if people, I don't care. You can send me emails in the morning. But when the Russians came in and did what they did, and when also called President Gun that way, and he's doing everything right now. And he should really be in jail right now. And when they booed him at the World Series, I'm sorry, I didn't feel sorry for him.
I loved it.
Yeah, me too. There wasn't an ounce of, you know, oh, poor him. No. Everything he's done, and everything Giuliani has done, and was the New York, you know, heart of America when 9/11 happened.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then we went from that to this guy I don't even recognize. And for me, and tell me if I'm wrong, but if you go on NASA TV and try to take down Biden, which I think he's an idiot, no one can take down Bill Biden and live to tell, in my opinion.
Right.
But if you want to take down Biden and you're still talking about McCain almost a year or so after he's been dead, I mean, he was dead 5 minutes and the guy would not leave him alone. So, and no one, you know, I thought, great, we are going to have a crappy 4 years, excuse my language, people, but we are going to have a crappy 4 years. But now, I think, you know, he will be impeached. I really feel like, you know, they are going to finally do it, but they have to act fast. They have to do this before the end of the year. And my question is, do you feel like they should do this before the end of the year, or do you think they should do this right now?
Well, I agree with you. I think he'll definitely be impeached in the House. And, I at this point, if they voted today, the Senate, I'm really the most disappointed in the Republican senators who I know, you know good and well, when they go home at night to their spouses and partners, they talk about how much they hate Donald Trump. They don't like Donald Trump. They have to pretend to like him because their constituents are voting for him, they think. But I think once the hearings become televised, hopefully, and people start hearing the evidence like they did during the Nixon trials, I mean, I don't know your age, so you probably weren't even here. I was just a kid. But, you know, archive footage shows us that America was not really for impeachment when those started as well. But once the hearings were on TV and people started seeing, oh, my God, this is really horrible, America came around. So in some ways, I think it's good that this is going to be happening for the next year going into the election, because I think it can constantly remind people of what he has done. And, you know, because basically the mob is running the White House. I mean, the mafia is running the White House. I mean, anybody that's ever dealt with New York and him and Giuliani, they know that that's who they've dealt with. You know, Roy Cohn, his attorney. I mean, we could go on and on. But, I mean, so for me, I just thought, screw it. I don't care if I lose a job anymore. I mean, luckily, most of Hollywood is anti-Trump and very liberal. So, I mean, I probably may have gotten more support because I'm so vocal. But I'm at the age now, Carly, I really don't care. It's like I want to be on the right side of history. I want to have said, I posted my post, you know, I spoke out, I did my shows, I did my interviews, I told people that he was wrong, and I can live with that. And if someone can't accept it or they're offended by it, I really don't care at this point.
That's how I'm feeling because, you know, at this point, people need to look at the whole facts. And if this was anyone else, we both know Rudy Giuliani, you know, he ignored the subpoena, he would be in jail if this was anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for all of them to say, oh, you know, for all of them, some of the Republicans to go on TV and sell their souls to this guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, it's going to hit them in the bye, don't mind saying another word, bye, won't. calling their election, and, you know, you and I probably need a part two for this because there's so much more. And if I don't let David and Bobby on, I will never hear about it. But sometimes it's my show, so really David and Bobby could just listen also. But then, like you were saying, the mafia, you know, about the mafia, well, I might get mafia'd in because I didn't let them talk to you. And David is the biggest fan of yours. And, you know, you were in the Friday the 13th movies. And as much as I love you now, I didn't watch you Friday the 13th only because of the pillow under the with the knife under the bed. And when my mom found the pillow under the bed with the signing, well, she said horror movies were not my thing, so she took my knife away. And I still have, I'm in my 40s. I still haven't got my knife back just because of that one incident. What?
So you,
like, I wasn't set to kill anyone. I was just needing protection because I really thought someone might come out of the dark and kill me. So, you know, I'm sorry I didn't see Friday the 13th and all these little horror movies, but, you know,
well,
it's a nice situation. So, yeah, and I'm going to let Bobby on first and then David. Yeah. Hey, Bobby.
Hey, Jasper. Hey, Carly.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm glad that you got a podcast just like Carly. Now, when are you on usually so I can just so I can tune in or call in sometime?
Oh, sure. Well, up until recently, they're all taped and you could go to iTunes and you can just Google One-on-One with Jasper Cole. But starting last Thursday, now every Thursday night on Blog Talk at 6 o'clock Eastern, 9 o'clock – I'm sorry, 6 o'clock Pacific, we're on from 6 to 7 at doing our live show, and you could call in. And we're going to be off tomorrow because it's Halloween, but starting the first Thursday in November, it'll be every Thursday night, 6 on the West Coast, 9 on the East Coast.
Right, until at least Thanksgiving, and then you're going to take that Thursday off for Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah, see, there we go. Yeah, exactly. We'll run one of our taped shows that's on iTunes right now. But, yeah,
right.
So I'm glad to be back doing it live because I like getting calls from people like you.
Mm-hmm. I really enjoy just actually – doing live podcasts or live shows where I can at least call in because it's rare that you see that these days, especially with a lot of people going to Twitter or texting or emailing shows
right. And
on what they think these days.
Right.
But you mentioned you was on Generations, which was a soap back in the day.
Yeah.
Did you ever get a chance to meet Chris Hall St. John? Because I know that he passed away last year, and I just didn't know if you met him before he left for YNR or.
I got to know Christoph many, many years later, not when he was we have mutual friends, and I was telling Carly earlier, his daughter and her mom are actually my neighbors now. Ironically, so
wow.
I got to know Christoph much later, you know, after he was on YNR. So
right.
It was a great loss, and he was just such a great guy. You'll
right.
never find
right.
a bad. You can't find anyone to ever say anything bad about him.
Right, and I agree with Mina on what she said on Twitter days later, and I tweeted back to her how much I will miss him and how I agreed with her. But
yes.
But I know you got some more calls to take, so I'm going to let you go, and you have a good night.
Great to talk to you. Thank you.
All right.
Okay. Bobby, I will put you on hold. And David, you're on the air. Go for it, David.
Oh, Jasper, how you doing?
Hey, David, how are
Hi.
You?
I'm doing good. Now, you've been on too many things. I can't go over everything. Which Friday 13th movie you in? Which Friday 13th movie you in?
Wait,
which
say
one?
That again. I'm sorry.
Which Friday 13th movie you were in? Which one?
Oh, I was in Jason Takes Manhattan, but I was actually cut out of the movie, but I got to film it. Yeah, I'm uncredited if you look up the credit, but I got to film my scenes. I was playing a trainer in a gym, and the scenes were cut. But it was a great, I know, it was a great experience. And then I went on to do, they did a series version of Friday the 13th. You remember that? I don't know. You probably don't.
Yeah.
You're probably too young.
I remember that.
But I did an episode of that. But the movie was a great experience. And I thought, did you like Jason Takes Manhattan?
Yes, that's one of my favorite movies. And that's
yeah.
my other movie.
They shot that in New York, and you know, and it was some great footage, and it was just a big, big, epic movie. Truth be told, see, I grew up, I loved watching all those horror films growing up, like all, you know, Halloween, all the Halloweens, all the Friday the 13th. I loved all those movies. So for me to get to be in one, and now this part of my career, I do so many horror films. It's just funny. I was telling Carly, but now as an old man, I don't like to watch them. I just like to make them.
I'm a big horror fan too. I got Friday to Halloween. I'm a big horror fan.
Well, the horror, listen, the horror fans are, you guys are very loyal. And we appreciate it, and there's no better. I think between soap fans and horror fans are probably the best people in the world.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
You also did Training Day. What was like Training Day?
Oh, listen, you know, David, that was really that was ironic in so many ways because on the episode I did, Bill Paxton's real-life son was guest starring on the show. He was playing, he was part of a storyline with a father and a son, not playing his dad's son, but and then he, during one of the rehearsals, we had a fight scene and his son got hit in the nose and he broke his nose. He had to be rushed to the hospital. It was like a whole thing. And then, you know, ironically, sadly, Bill passed away, you know, just a few months after we wrapped the first, yeah, he had told us that he was going to be having a heart surgery. He was born with a certain heart condition. It was really supposed to be a routine, no big deal kind of surgery. So something happened. Actually, the surgery went fine. He was already back home, you know, and out of the hospital, and there were some complications. But it was just totally horrible. And his son is a great actor, and I'm blanking on his name. I feel bad, but that was always a special memory for me because I got to be with him on one of his very last screen jobs, you know.
Oh, wow.
And I think the show would have continued, obviously, you know, had he not passed, because it was doing pretty well in the ratings.
Yeah, it was a good show. I agree.
Yeah.
My last question is, you were on Married with Children. I saw you on Married with Children. What was that working on that show? I saw you on that.
Oh, my God. That was a dream for me because I was a huge fan. And this was in the, you know, beginning couple seasons when it was so controversial. I don't know if you remember, like, I think Al Gore's the vice president's wife, Tippi Gore, didn't like it. Remember that whole thing? And And they were pushing the envelope. You know, they were really pushing it. So again, I just had a tiny little part, you know, but there was all this press there on the set because of all the controversy but you know, here's the thing. And this is what I tell to young actors also. I don't really think I took it all in. You know, I don't think I enjoyed the moment like I should have. You know, I say to young actors now, just remember, it's all about the journey. You know, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. Because looking back now, I really, of course, I remember doing it, but I should have like appreciated it more, you know?
Yeah.
But you know, when you're young, when you're in your 20s, you just think, you know what I mean? You just think it's all going to be like that forever. So, I try to be much more present now and, you know, just realize how grateful I am to get any jobs. But they were all terrific to work with.
Yeah. Well, you pay a bad guy what we get. You pay a bad guy what
well,
we get. So.
I appreciate it. The bad guys are fun to play. You know, they're really fun.
Yeah.
They're good, fun guys. And I'll tell you something. All my buddies, like my group of bad guys, they're like the nicest people in the world. They're all just so such cool, laid-back guys. And, then sometimes you meet the leading men that play the nice guys, and they're not always so nice. So something ironic about that.
Yeah, well, thank you for coming on and talking to me.
Listen, great to talk to you as well. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Have a great night.
I will put you on hold. Okay, so that's after the interview, I will send you my email through Messenger so we can start emailing because I have so you gave me so many good ideas in my head right now. And Christoph used to tell me that when you connect with the actor on the air and they are really nice, it's okay to ask them for little favors.
Mm-hmm.
He taught me that. James Runners is always telling me, he goes, Carly, the worst thing they can do is tell you no.
Right.
So I'm taking both boys' advice. You know, that was Christoph's biggest advice about a radio show that I should give to you, that you want to try and get a guest and you think you're never going to get a guest on, well, maybe you're wrong because, you know, I treated Christoph and I was kidding. I'm like, you want to come on my show? And it was 3:00 in the morning and by 3:15, he answered back. He goes, okay, when?
Wow.
And
he's a night owl like we are.
Am I really up at 3:15 doing this? And yes, I was. And so that's how, so I don't know how long you've had your radio show, but if you need any help with Blog Talk at all, let me know because sometimes Blog Talk can give you trouble. Like you would never believe. Sometimes it says you have a show coming up and you do all the work and you save it and whatever, and then you go back 3 hours later and it deletes it. So
oh, no.
I'm just warning you that you always have to check a couple of hours before your show about that, and you will be back on with Jasper Cole on Blog Talk on the 8th, by the way, and I look for you. And also, Bill Paxson's son, name was Dane. His Bill Paxson, his son was Dane. I looked it up.
Oh, yes, right. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah, I looked it up, you know, while you and David were talking. And sometimes you have to look things up on the internet while you're doing it, so because it's very helpful. But I really think we need a part 2. And, heck, we might need a part 3 when, you know, he gets impeached.
Right.
Because I feel like the impeachment is going to go down. I really do. And please let me know when you are in a movie, in your next movie or TV show, or if you need to reach out to any soaps and beg them, because they usually listen to me. And, you know, they live a life in their high requirement. They live a life, come on. Because Lucas is small. Lucas is not that tall, you guys. Come on.
Right.
And I swear people are wearing taller suits on soaps because they are not as tall as they are when you meet them, people. Just so you know. So,
well,
thank
Well, listen, I want to tell everyone that I have a new film called Anyone Home that just came out on demand. Now you could watch this one because it's not really a horror. It's more of a thriller, and it's scary, but it's not like monster. Yeah, and then I have another one coming out called Captured in January, which again it's thriller, not really a horror film. But everyone can also go to my website, jaspercole.com, and everything's on there. My Twitter, my radio shows, my everything, it's all there. People can reach out to me on my website as well. So it's all one-stop shopping.
Well, exactly. And thank you so much for coming on the show. And like I said, please email me. And have a great night, and I will look forward to you talking more. And if you need my help with your radio show, please let me know.
Thank you, Carly. It's been a pleasure to meet you. You're a real sweetheart. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
That was a great interview.
Thanks, guys.
Yep.
I didn't mean to take all the time away, but, you know, by having Brian still talking, I just really don't, you know, shut up. And, you know, I found a connection with him and about Trump. And I hope you guys thought I did a good job. So, you know, I worked really, really hard on this interview. So I hope you guys both loved it.
Yep, you're great.
You did good.
And I just want to say, I never thought I would be saying this in my life, but the Scotty and Sunny scene last night when I was watching, when I was watching them, they were making me laugh, you guys. They were making me, it was so funny. And I know that, David, you're not caught up. Bobby, did you see it yet?
I haven't seen it yet.
We all behind.
Oh, my God. It really made me nearly wet my pants. That's why it was so funny. Because basically, Sky was asking Sunny and Kenneth Franco. And Sunny's like, what, you mean break the law? It was hysterical. Sky's been after Sunny's ass for years about breaking the law, but then he needs help. They always need Jason and Sunny's help, no matter who you are or not so. They always need my Samson to get in there and help. So I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. Everyone tune to them. And we have some major announcements before we go. You guys, since we are doing it tomorrow, so, and it's 9:00 in the morning, I decided we are not having it Friday, so, and I hope that's okay with the two of you, because we
that's
just
fine.
Did back-to-back shows, and if we did a Friday show, I don't think my voice would end up being good by Friday night. So what do you guys think about that?
I think we're good for tomorrow, but I might not be able to call in tomorrow because I'll be on my way to work. But I may call in just before, but it just depends on what time it is and how early you can get me on the air to just speak to the guests, and that's it. Because I'm not going to stay for the whole show and for the afternoon review and stuff like that, like we're doing right now.
Well, you know, that's okay. I mean, and David, it's okay not having a Friday night show, right?
Yeah. So, somebody asked me to get stuff from that.
And I just want to say, our prayers are going out to Maggie. And I still don't know how to operate someone, but I'm sure everything is going well.
Right. Well, the good news is, I think our part of the country, as far as our Fox station, will get the Bears and Eagles this weekend. We're not going to get the Seahawks game, I don't think, because the reason why we got the Bears game on Fox this weekend is because CBS has the Panthers game, and that's normally on Fox, but it's a AFC team coming into Charlotte this week.
On Sunday we are playing the Buccaneers.
Right.
Where is the Buccaneers from? Does anyone know?
Tampa.
Oh, of course someone will know besides me. And let's see, and the Bills are playing the Eagles.
Right. I'm hearing rumors,
Bobby?
The Panthers are playing Tennessee, and that's the CBS game. It's not the Fox game this week. It's on CBS.
And
I think there's rumors going on that they might move the Eagles Seahawks game from Sunday night to Sunday afternoon, which would be kind of hard for me because it's going up against the Panthers that weekend, and it's going to be on the same network as the Panthers if it's moved to that time slot, assuming that CBS doesn't get the rights to have the Eagles and Seahawks game that weekend.
Well,
so I just wanted to give you a heads up just in case I don't see the game. I know that the Niners game is going to be on ESPN in a couple of weeks with Seattle.
Oh, don't remind me. Every time we play the Niners, it makes me want to throw up because I worry. But we have Michael Colvin in the morning and 9 a.m. in the morning.
Right.
And then we are so busy for the month of November that it's not even funny. When I say it's not even funny, I mean it's not even funny. We have a heck of a lot of people, by the way, for that.
Yeah.
We have November 5th, Ron, November 8th, Rebecca, November 15th, Sonia, November 15th, Petrocca, and November 18th, we have Andrea Evans.
Yay!
That's the interview I'm really looking forward to,
November 19th, and then we have David's birthday show too. So we are busy. So yes. So weeks ago, before my boy gives out, but have a great night, you guys. And like I said, don't do anything I would do.
Okay, one more thing before we leave. I did get a chance to record Friday the 13th, Jason Take Manhattan, and fast forward through it so I wouldn't be less scared the other day.
Not that bad.
Well, there were a few scenes I thought was interesting, but I fast forward through the ones I thought was scary. But anyways, you all have a good night, and I'll try to make it on the air tomorrow. If not, then I'll talk to you next week.
Okay, and remember this email
text you about 11:30 my time.
You will be on.
All right, I will. So.
Okay, night, guys.
All right, have a good night.
Night. Bye.
Bring me back home when I'm lost on the road. My
That's it for Daytime After Dark tonight. Thank you, Beth Nicole, for coming on. It was one of my amazing interviews. You guys gotta check it out. And tomorrow we will be having the sexy Michael COVID on. Okay. Bye. Have a great night.